flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Detroit Lions free agents to be. Which guys do you absolutely bring back? Which guys do you say no, sir? And which guys do you say it depends on the money? Depends on the money. Some of these players will be cap casualties because you want to spend the money elsewhere. Are we in agreement that Carlton Davis is, you know, within reason, everybody brings him back? Within reason?
Yeah, I think within reason. Absolutely.
But he might be the number one free agent to re-sign. I think he probably is.
Probably. I'm trying to think.
Like you don't bring back Zeitler so you can afford Carlton Davis. I mean, not 100%, but in part, it's a large part, because you might have to break the bank for this guy.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what Carlton Davis wants. He gets to hit free agency now. There was a dispute about his worth in Tampa. It's one of the reasons why they had to move on from him, too.
Yeah.
But they have to have a corner opposite Terrion Arnold. Like, you can't trust Terrion Arnold yet, right, to be a number one corner in this league. That's why this Carlton Davis situation is pretty big. I trust Brad Holmes. He clearly had a plan last year in the offseason. He knew he was going to go get Carlton Davis. Like, he targeted, you know, him. Yep. I wonder, you know, of course he has a plan now as well. Is his number one target, though, bring back Carlton Davis, or does he have his eye on somebody else as well already?
Yeah, and he could. Like, there might be a better player out there that's available. You know, you see this and you go, okay, he's not great, but he was really good for them.
Yeah, of their free agents, their unrestricted free agents, they have the 22 that are listed. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody more that says you got to resign than Carlton Davis. And again, for the right money. Melo Fonwu, maybe? Derek Barnes?
I think there's one here that's really interesting. What do you do if Tim Patrick really wants a raise?
Well, Tim Patrick is interesting. I like him. Like what he did in this team. Had 33 catches this year for 394 yards and 3 touchdowns. He did a real nice job of filling the role of Josh Reynolds, while Jamison Williams really took a step forward this year with 1,000 yards receiving.
And you know what they don't have? They don't really have a young receiver in the pipeline. Like, the young receiver they got is starting, Jamison Williams.
Right, right.
There's no Christian Mahogany of wide receivers. I kind of think Tim Patrick, he's not a must sign, because there could be other guys available. But if a player is willing to be the number three wide receiver and can play the role the way Tim Patrick did, you bring him back. The only challenge with him, of course, there's a player that's like Marcus Davenport that had been injured, and his old team said no, and he came to Detroit and he was healthy for the first time in 3 seasons.
Yeah, I don't think he doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to break the bank to bring back. I don't think he's going to get massive money. Because he is what he is. He's a third receiver on a team. On this team, he's a third receiver. Is he going to be a number two on any other team in the league?
Probably not.
So I don't think you have to pay too much to bring him back. And it doesn't preclude you or exclude you from drafting a wide receiver. This seems like a pretty good year to draft a receiver for the Lions. Because as you point out, they don't have that young guy. And they got to make a decision on J-Mo about bringing him back for a fifth year. I think they have to do that before the season starts. So
that's a really good point about, totally can see them using a relatively high draft pick on a wide receiver.
Yeah.
So Tim Patrick we're bringing back, and we don't think it's going to break the bank. Derek Barnes. I mean, Derek Barnes went from being promising to a disappointing player to promising again to, damn it, he's hurt. I really hope they can bring Derek Barnes back. I feel like Derek Barnes, though, might be an odd man out slash cap casualty because they do have a lot of depth at that linebacker spot.
He could be, but again, this is a guy who, because he was hurt, may not cost you too much. Is he? Does he get a prove it contract? Is it, whether you re-sign him for a year, or is he get? Does he get it like a 3-year deal?
I would imagine he's going to be looking for more than a prove it contract.
I would imagine you're probably right, but again, a guy who isn't a. I mean, is he even a starter? He played 3 games this year. He has started, but is, again, look at the scope of the National Football League. If you let him go, does he become a starter for somebody else?
I would think so. I actually think he would.
So if you think that's the case, then you're going to have to pay him some decent money.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Derek Barnes would be – somebody else would say, this is a guy Detroit couldn't afford. How lucky are we that we can pounce on this player?
And – you're a year before, so I think they could do that because Malcolm Rodriguez, you don't have to make that decision up until next year.
Yeah. Kang, what do you make of Derek Barnes?
I think they love Derek Barnes. He's the type of linebacker they want that can play the rush and rush the passer, and that's what they need. And then Brett Holmes said it in his end-of-season presser the other day. Like they're like, oh, you know, everyone talked about me drafting an inside backer. We draft players, and we want our linebackers to be able to do everything. And they've been able to develop Derek Barnes into that type of player. He was rushing the edge a ton, but still was able to stay on the field because he can still play that linebacker position and cover. I think the fact that I believe that he didn't have his injury wasn't an ACL injury. It was a knee injury, but not the ACL. I think they want to bring him back, and I think he will come back.
I think so, too. And the more I think of this, I think he's one of those guys that they might have to pay a little extra for, and I'm okay with that. Let's lump some players together here. John Kaminsky, Jonah Williams, defensive linemen. Do you make much of a stink, or are those guys, look, go see what you can get, but we'll sign you, but it won't be for much.
Those are circle back players, right?
Yep. But you're okay with letting them walk.
Yep.
What about Elquadine Muhammad?
I want to bring him back, but I don't think he's somebody who's going to cost you much at all to bring back. He's 29. He's been around the league for a while, but played well with the Lions down the stretch when they needed someone to emerge as a pass rusher. He actually got to the quarterback a little bit. I like him.
Thing about Elquadine Muhammad is when Brad Holmes spoke yesterday about who's got a great edge rusher at their number 6 guy, this is who I'm thinking of.
Right.
I'm thinking of Elquadine Muhammad. Right. That's your 6 guy. And yeah, I would try to bring him back, but I wouldn't pay for him. And by that, I mean overpay for him.
Correct.
All right, some corners here. Who do you like out of Kendall Vildor, Khalil Dorsey, or Emmanuel Mosley?
I don't like Dorsey's injury. He's coming back from. That was rough.
Yep.
You know, Vildor has had his moments, and he's also had infamous moments. Mosley, just you feel so bad for the guy.
Without question.
And yet, it's kind of the same thing with Davenport. I just let him walk. It hasn't worked out for him. I wish him the best of luck. Is it a circle back one that, hey, you know, maybe come on back if you haven't gotten any offers or if you're not going to sign anywhere else, we'll take a look. But otherwise, I'm not extending an offer right now to say, well, you need to bring it back. No.
Last year, he played in 2 games, didn't play a defensive snap. In 2 full years with the Lions, 2 years under contract with the Lions, he's accrued 0 stats.
Yeah.
I mean, it just feels like a waste, but I don't know how you can go back to the well there. I think Vildor's the only guy you bring back, and you bring him back in the same role. He's CB6. He's not going to cost anything. They know what they have in him. Sure, do you want to get better? But at some point, you can't keep signing players that cost anything, and he wouldn't cost anything.
Well, keep this in mind, too. They're going to look at a new defensive coordinator.
Well, that's true.
So does that play a role at all in how this works out? I imagine it does. You know, and if you're promoting from within, you're hearing a different voice talking about that player because it's no longer going to be Aaron Glenn talking about it. Maybe it's Calvin Shepard, and Calvin Shepard might have a different approach and say, look, I need more linebackers – or we've seen enough out of these guys in the secondary that aren't getting it done. We have to go replenish that, or whatever the case is. I think that the new voice as a defensive coordinator is going to have a role.
One more called Hero Dan Skipper. Does Dan Skipper, who my guess is at best is only an emergency break glass player and a sixth offensive lineman, what if he wants money?
If he wants money, let him walk. Right? I mean, I like when he comes out on the field. I don't really care that the crowd cheers for him when he reports. That doesn't do anything for me. But because he's an extra lineman, he's massive in size. I like that aspect of it, just as it can be intimidating and it can help seal that edge when they have to do things. But I'm also not overvaluing what he is. He's not a guy that I feel terribly comfortable. If one of the tackles gets hurt, let's throw in Skipper. Like, okay, he is what he is. He's a backup player.
I think when you're a journeyman, pretty much the writing's on the wall at the age of 30, when you played for like 6-7 different teams, that your role in this league is pretty well defined. I think Dan Skipper gladly signs a low minimum type contract with the Lions, because I can't see anybody saying at the age of 30, this is a guy we're going to count on now to be a starter, but he's like perfect for the role he has in Detroit. I think he's back, and I think he's back at the right price.
Do you think, because the way that the injuries have impacted this team the last 2 years, and yet this team has been successful, that plays a role at all with free agents, that they're like looking at Detroit and saying, oh, wow, they got such a roster. However, these guys are always, the last 2 years, these guys have gotten hurt. I'm going to get an opportunity to play there, even if I'm signed as a backup.
So you're counting on more injuries?
I'm just saying. It's how it's worked out.
I think that's how it's been, but I don't know if that's any indicator of how it's going to be. In fact, I would kind of think that at some point you start to get actually lucky.
And the fact is that the Lions are a good team. So that's the other thing, is that the biggest players appeal. Want to come here.
It's a huge appeal.
The coaching staff.
Actually, the biggest appeal is probably wanting to play for this head coach. Another great appeal is you have a chance to win a Super Bowl. That's just about it with all the free agents. There's a couple more on the edges. Like, I don't know if Allen Robinson's back. Zeke Turner, I don't think, is back. Ben Neiman, Pat O'Connor. It's Carson Anderson. Open lines, 248-539-9797. If you want to go to bat for any of those guys or disagree with us, let us know. 97.1 The Ticket.
It is cold outside with weather shifting. You better make sure your furnace is running tip-top shape. If it's not, I got the people to call. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. These guys are amazing. You're worried about burst pipes? Maybe you have the burst pipes. You're not sure who to call? Call Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. They know what they're doing. They're awesome. They've been out to my house a couple times over the last several years. We've got all the problems solved very quickly. They're amazing. Don't just take my word for it. You can check out their A-plus rating they have from the Better Business Bureau or some of the 5-star reviews they have on Google. The fact is, you see their trucks everywhere. Red, white, and blue trucks. You're wondering, what is that? That's Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Give them a call today, so whether it's your furnace or your water heater, a boiler, or water filtration, schedule that appointment at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
We do have some breaking news in the NFL from the How Does It Impact Us category. The Jets, according to multiple reports, have signed a general manager, agreed to terms of a general manager. It's Darren Mooji, who is the assistant GM with the Broncos, and it will not be anybody from the Detroit organization.
This is the new hotness that Detroit started, hiring the head coach before the GM.
Weird, huh?
Yeah. This is another one.
I mean, is there anything to this, like hire the head coach and then find the GM that agrees with the head coach? Like, basically putting the head coach in charge of personnel? Not directly, but, hey, this is the guy that's going to coach the team, so we're only going to hire a GM that can work with this coach.
I think it makes sense. You would think that you'd want the guy, like you'd want to hire the GM before the coach, and yet, you know, the Lions technically did it the other way around, even though they put both guys together on a phone call and made sure that that's what they wanted to do.
What's dumb about this theory is there's no GM that's going to, if they get hired first, that's going to go out and hire a coach that isn't compatible with what they're going to try to do.
This is true.
So I don't know why this is the new hotness. It just is the new hotness.
It tells me ownership wants to hire the coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They want a bigger say in who's leading the football team on the field. We'll figure out the other part after. But I want to know, I want to feel comfortable with the guy leading my team, leading the locker room. At least that's the new hotness right now. You know how the NFL is. But clearly it's worked out for the Lions. And yeah, you look at what's going on lately. It's like, okay, all right.
So the other thing is, Gator, I want your take on this. Are you familiar with NFL reporter Diana Russini?
Yep.
Decent enough reporter, right?
Yeah.
You believe stuff she puts out there?
I think so.
She just tweeted the following. Just felt an earthquake in New Jersey. Now, according to Earthquake Track, there is no earthquakes in the past 24 hours, past 7 days, past 30 days in the state of New Jersey. Do you believe Diana Russini felt an earthquake in New Jersey?
Well, of course not. But is she saying that because of something else, like, you know, alluding to the Aaron Glenn signing and then now this new signing of their GM? Is that what it means? Is she alluding to something else other than the actual literal earthquake? If nothing's been reported of an earthquake, then of course she hasn't felt an earthquake.
Yeah. I'm just looking at some of these responses. One person had said that they thought they felt something as well, and her response is, everybody else is making jokes. You know, it's Chris Christie fell over. That was the news of the Jets GM dropping. Rex Ryan showed up and asked for a job again, blah, 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 blah. You know, the jokes are coming in.
Yeah, people got jokes.
But she says she felt an earthquake in New Jersey. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. From earlier in the show, we tweeted out the video that Terrion Arnold put out there, which may or may not be him falling down the stairs. We think it's probably him, but it's a different hairstyle. It's hard to tell. It's a black and white, like, security cam video. Slips at the top of the stairs and then rides, butt surfs all the way down the stairs, you know, dum, 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 dum. And we're getting some response to this. Phil in Dallas tweeted us back, I'll go ahead and assume he broke his femur and tore every ligament in both knees.
I don't even want to joke about that.
I know, but, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of the way things went, isn't it? From chairman of the Detroit Vanguard, that's kind of how the season went with the Lions defense. Started out okay, and then the injuries hit. Doom, 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 doom. Lawrence, this isn't funny. Still grabbing and holding, I see. Ha ha. It looks like he's going to be okay, so that's the good news.
How many penalties did he get called for after, like, week four?
After week four?
Yeah.
Like three.
It was after September.
After September. Well, one of them was an offensive holding on a punt return.
Right. But I meant in coverage. He got flagged early and often, and then it seemed like just shut it down. All right, I got it. I got the message. I'll adjust. I'll adapt.
If you ask Lions fans, it was three per game.
Right.
It really wasn't that many.
But it wasn't that.
It wasn't. He had a rough start. There's no doubt about that.
Like, yeah. After like the first four or five games, I don't know if it was a one defensive holding or pass interference call.
So after September, he got called for three penalties. He went the entire month of October with no penalties. In November, he committed offensive holding. It was actually on a special teams play. All right. He was flagged for holding on a punt return.
Doesn't count, sure.
He got a defensive pass interference at Houston.
All right.
And he got a defensive pass interference against Green Bay at the beginning of December.
So two from October through, so the last 12 games that he played, he had two penalties for defensive holding or pass interference. He had two pass interference calls.
Yep.
All right. I'd say he got better with that.
One might say.
He adjusted.
I mean, the truth is, I think that's kind of how you, a reasonable expectation for a rookie at a very difficult position to play in the league. It's kind of a reasonable expectation for how it could go, right?
Mm-hmm.
248-539-9797. We'll get to more of your phone calls and feedback coming up. In the meantime, someone put out a list. An agent talked to a reporter about 15 players who could be traded or released this offseason. Would any of them make sense here in Detroit? We'll get to that today at 1:31 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, Gator. I just want your reaction to what I'm about to tell you. Your first emotion that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Yes.
My son today, trigonometry final. How do you feel about a trig final?
I wouldn't know. Never got that far.
No?
No.
What about calculus? To get a calculus?
Yeah, it's just fear. Anxiety comes to mind when I hear that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, the issues I had with math that go back to high school, I was fine with math. Through middle school, I was fine with it. And then everything changed with in my freshman year in high school, I was fine with it. Got to geometry and things took a turn.
It's pretty funny because I was super, I was way better at math than I was at English. And when I took the SAT, when I walked out of there, I'm like, I got a perfect score. I was so cocky. I was like, I got a perfect score. I did not, but I thought I did. And I sat down, to help my son recently with his math. And I'm like, all right, I got this. This is my wheelhouse. And I looked at him like, oh my God, I used to know how to do this.
Yeah. I mean,
all the skills are eroded.
Completely lost. And in college, it took me a few tries before I was finally able to get where I needed to be to graduate with, because I had to pass the math class in order to graduate. And I finally was able to do it. And I was very proud of myself, didn't that over a summer term that I went there, summer school. But yeah, I get anxiety about it. My niece is brilliant at math, which I guess shouldn't surprise me because my brother was a math guy. But so when she talks about it, it might as well be Charlie Brown's teacher talking. I'm out.
Really?
Yeah.
Your skills didn't erode, Doug. Math's not even the same. I don't even think they use the right numbers anymore.
Like they're using
the what is this? This is not math. What the hell? You get that evil witchcraft out of here. Not in this house.
Is that like a metric version that I wasn't informed about?
Well, my wife teaches fourth grade, and they don't do math the same as we did it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The hell is this?
I don't know. They're doing now like foreign math.
Did we switch to the metric system?
At some point, apparently. Okay. We're getting a lot of feedback to the Lions free agents, and we just ran down a list, and some people are disagreeing with us. From an unnamed texter, Glasgow was pretty bad this year. Relying on Graham would not be ideal. Next text, Mahogany was great, but wasn't he available in the sixth round only because of injury concerns? Also, then he missed most of this season as well. I would bring back Zeitler and have Glasgow as a versatile backup. I understand with his contract that would be expensive, but the alternative is being one injury away from being bad on the offensive line, and with Goff, that could derail the entire season. Next one, I don't know if this is still possible, but I would love to basically have all of our free agents back at the right price. Iffy, Barnes, Zeitler, Carlton, Davis, and even Levi on a small deal. So what you just said there, at the right price, the team doesn't dictate what the player asks for. If the player wants to stay at any cost, this is possible. They are professional athletes, and they are trying to take care of their families as best they can in the short window of time that they get to play. Unnamed texter, Tim Patrick is probably the most replaceable player on the Lions, an aging wide receiver who can help a young locker room. Tim Patrick is probably the most replaceable player on the Lions. Then he writes, an aging wide receiver who can help a young locker room. Do you think he means irreplaceable?
Or just mean like anyone can do it, right, Gator? Like just any old vet can come in there?
Yeah, I would disagree with that.
Oh, I know.
Did Allen Robinson and Donovan Peoples-Jones do that?
No, because he was ahead of them.
if he's saying any aging receiver can do this, I think the evidence would suggest otherwise. I think they'll absolutely re-sign Derek Barnes, and a big reason being that he will be a bargain because he was injured all season. Coming back off a knee injury, it gives Holmes leverage to get better value out of the contract. That's from Trevor in Rochester. Unnamed texter, wasn't Brock Wright the biggest waste of a re-signing? We can't let that happen again.
Did Brock Wright cost him a bunch of money?
I would say, given what they paid him, his value is probably measured in many non-statistical ways.
Well, he's a blocking tight end who caught 13 passes this year.
Yeah, but do you pay a three-year, $12 million contract to a blocking tight end? I think there might be some truth in this.
If you want to, yeah, if you want to keep being one of the top rushing teams in the league.
Fair, but should a blocking tight end cost that much? Can you get as good a blocking tight end for cheaper?
Well,
I think it's a valid question.
It's a question. Yeah, it's a valid question. I agree with that, but it's also something where the salary cap goes up every year. So at $4 million a year, is that really too much to spend in a grand scheme of things when you look at your roster?
I guess I'd have to look to really know this. Okay, who are the blocking tight ends and what are they getting paid? Maybe it's totally worth it, but that would take a little bit of research.
I mean, they only had
saw it for the first time.
Yeah, they had one other tight end catch a pass this year outside of Laporta and Brock Wright.
Was it Parker Hess?
It was not.
Okay. Asking for a friend.
It was... Was it
not three touchdowns?
It was not. Shane Zylstra caught one pass. One.
Yep.
So I think that the value in Brock Wright is that he plays a lot. May not be catching the ball a lot because he's not asked to do that, but he's out on the field a lot. I mean, do you have snap counts in front of you? This guy played a lot of football.
I can get snap counts. It's going to take me a minute.
Like I said, he was targeted 16 times, caught 13 of those passes. So it's a high completion rate. Had a couple of touchdowns in those 13 receptions.
He played 583 snaps.
Compare that with Laporta.
Sam Laporta played 910. Parker Hess played 59. But anyway. All right. I mentioned before the break an agent's take on players that could be released this year for salary cap reasons or moved. Aaron Rodgers. It's number one on the list. You can have him.
Yep.
To literally every team in the league. Good luck. Kirk Cousins is on the list. So you see that, lost his starting job. Here's the problem with his contract. Do you know how much money Atlanta saves if they cut him?
No.
None. So what's the point?
Well, if they cut him now or if they cut him at any point?
It says... 2025 salary cap savings if they let him go. Apparently at any point, it says none. Derek Carr. I have no interest in Derek Carr except for maybe a backup. I mean, if Teddy Bridgewater got snaps here, I suppose it's based in large part on familiarity, but what?
Just Derek Carr.
I know, but as a backup.
So as a backup, yeah. I mean, he's okay, but yeah. Let him. I imagine he's going to look for more than backup money.
Agent story again, talking to agents, players that could be released. Raiders owner Mark Davis has been adamant that Max Crosby won't be traded. It could be a different story if Crosby forces the issue because he isn't happy with the direction of the team after a new head coach is hired or his contract isn't addressed in a meaningful way. Crosby's under contract through 2026 for $42.84 million. The Raiders took a Band-Aid approach to Crosby's contract in 2024. Crosby had $5 million added to 3 years that were left, where he got a $6 million raise for 2024, while the 2025 compensation also increases by $1.198 million, and his 2026 money decreases by $2.198 million. All that begs the question, how does he feel about Pete Carroll, who got the Raiders job today? I hope he can't stand Pete Carroll.
Right, but Pete Carroll's a defensive guy, right?
Yep.
And Pete Carroll has a ton of energy. I imagine Pete Carroll comes in, and if you're talking to Pete Carroll, you're going to want to play for Pete Carroll. As much of a foof as I think he could be because of the scandals he had at USC, you can't deny that he's a hell of a football coach.
Hell of a football coach.
So I would imagine that he's going to get along just fine with Max Crosby. But does Max Crosby want to stay with the Raiders, which will be a rebuild thing? Because they don't have a quarterback. They don't have a lot of things. They have Max Crosby. You know, is Max Crosby going to go into Matthew Stafford mode and go to the front office and say, I think it's time to trade me?
Other players that made this list, Davante Adams, probably no need here in Detroit.
Nope.
Von Miller.
I always liked Von Miller, but is Von Miller...
What is he at 36? I don't mind bringing him in at 36. What do you pay Von Miller? I mean, would I rather have Von Miller or Elquidine Muhammad? I'd go with Von Miller. At Elquidine Muhammad price? Sure.
I mean, he had 6 sacks this year in 13 games.
Here's an interesting player. Joey Bosa took a pay cut to stay with the Chargers. Had the NFL's second largest 2025 salary cap number for a non-quarterback. He's had trouble staying on the field. 14 games he played in 2024 were his most since the 2021 season. I feel like Joey Bosa on the open market gets way too much money to be a factor here.
I like Joey Bosa, but maybe it's more the name than anything else. But think about what he would be on the opposite side of Aiden Hutchinson, and I think you get a lot of production from him. But again, it's about health. Can he stay healthy?
Here's one. Jaire Alexander could be depart from the Packers. A divorce between Alexander and the Packers seems inevitable, whether through trade or his release. Injuries have limited Alexander to just 34 games over the last 4 seasons. 2-time second-team All-Pro, missed 9 of the last 10 games this season because of a right knee injury that required surgery. Now, I know a lot of people go, I don't want an injured player, don't want an injured player. That's how the Lions got Tim Patrick. And he just happened to stay healthy this year. You got to deem which players are worth the risk. Interesting, especially if they lose Carlton Davis.
Well, I'd be interested in, look, again, secondary, can't have enough guys in a secondary. And because he's been hurt, does that mean his price lowers? Because he does play at a Pro Bowl level when he's healthy.
This is true. Interesting one to pay attention to. Again, these are from CBS Sports, an agent's take on players that could be released. There's more on the list. Those were the most interesting. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. This new year, be the best you can be by starting out with the best water for your family. This month, CGC Water will save you $1,000 off on a K5 drinking water system when you bundle it with a Kinetico Premier softener. Call 855-339-4242 or visit cgcwater.com. If you're not filtering your water, you're the filter. Don't be the filter in 2025. CGC Water Treatment and Plumbing will also take care of all your plumbing needs. Save 10% off a Navien tankless water heater. We love ours. Your authorized independent Kinetico dealer, CGC Water. Call 855-339-4242. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 A Ticket. We mentioned this earlier. 2 tricky basketball games for our local college teams. You've got Michigan playing at Purdue. It's a quad one win waiting to happen, although Purdue did lose at home earlier this week. But it feels like the Wolverines have some making up to do after losing that game at Minnesota, you know, sort of trying to steal one back. You know, that was not a good loss for them. Meanwhile, Michigan State's playing at Rutgers. Michigan State's won 11 in a row. Through the course of seasons, there are ups and there are downs, unless you're elite, in which case you're always up. Michigan State might be just that. I suspect there'll be ups and downs for them as well. Michigan's kind of going through a sluggish portion of their schedule. Rutgers is one of the most fascinating teams in the Big Ten. High expectations, 35-1 to win it all to start the season, now 200-1 to win it all. They might not even make the tournament. They're 10-9. They got 2 lottery picks. But you'd have to think that they are they're a team that has incredible upside and is, you know, at home. It's a tough game. Both Michigan and Michigan State have tough games this weekend. Michigan tonight, Michigan State tomorrow. Any thoughts?
I'm not sure what to expect out of it. I mean, Michigan State looks like they're going to play you tough every night. Do they have more talent than everybody else, or is this one of these quintessential Tom Izzo teams that everybody pulls their weight, everybody's got a role, and there are no superstars?
All right, so is the player with the highest recruiting ranking on this team Xavier Booker?
I think so.
And Xavier Booker is a rotational piece?
I mean, it's how they're using him, off the bench, and kind of like they go with the hot hand, whoever's going to be that guy. It changes every game. It's interesting to watch. You know, I don't have a real gauge on this team other than they play team basketball, which is huge. You know, they don't have the one guy that you're depending upon.
No, they don't, which means they have multiple guys that can step up for them. It'd be intriguing to see if, you know, people talk about superstars making such an impact in March. You know, this feels like a very Izzo team. Do they have what it takes to get it done in March if you need a superstar per se? I don't know if they have that. But they're an intense group that he has a lot of combinations to toy with, which can be a problem for other teams. Michigan, the problem that Michigan will present teams in March, and there's a little bit of an antidote. I'll be interested to see what Dusty May does with this. Michigan can hit you with a 4-5 ball screen. Your center and your power forward are playing the pick and roll game at the top of the key. That is something that almost nobody's ever had to prepare for. But the last few games, the Danny Wolf, Russian Loivat, Vlad Golden, 4-5 ball screen hasn't been as effective. And I think they got to figure out the next motion off of that and perfect that. So when teams think they've got it defended, you've got the counter to what they're doing. But you know, Big Ten teams are seeing this. Other teams will watch it, but it could make Michigan. That could be what makes Michigan a tough out come March.
They could be a very tough out because of that. And they're very well coached. And it's a whole new slew of guys, it feels like, over there. Different style of basketball. And I think both Michigan and Michigan State can make noise. But I think what holds Michigan State back, potentially, is that they don't have the three-point shooter. All season long, they've struggled with that. Now, maybe somebody develops and all of a sudden, you know, hits the stride that you expect him to. Jace Richardson can knock down some threes. But, you know, Akins, who should be able to, is shooting at 30% right now. That's not good enough. Holloman is shooting at 31%. Fears has knocked down his shots, and that's good for him. He's at 43%. But if you don't have that constant threat from three-point range, it feels like you can't make a long run in the tournament. Because sometimes all it takes is for one guy to get hot, and that's what you ride in the tournament for any given game. Like, oh, so-and-so just lit him up for 8 three-pointers or 6 three-pointers. Wow, that's great. Can somebody from Michigan State, can they do that? And can they defend that? They've shown they can defend it. That's one thing Michigan State brings night in and night out. They play pretty good defense.
The thing that's happened in the Big Ten is the sudden – oh yeah, we say there's ups and downs every season. You go through a stretch where you're playing really well, and you go through a stretch where you're playing like crap. The team that suddenly finds himself in trouble for the Big Ten chase that we thought was going to be there all season long is Illinois. They've lost 3 of 4. They lost at home to USC, which is a surprise. They lose the game in East Lansing, which there's no shame in that, and that was actually a hell of a basketball game. Last night, as a 7-point favorite at home, they got blown out by Maryland. 91-70. Yeah. Illinois now pretty much has to, I would almost argue, has to run the table to win the Big Ten.
Well, and it doesn't matter. I mean, you just have to win enough games, and then you get in the tournament. It's everything's about the NCAA tournament. And at a 13-6 record right now, they need to win probably 7 games.
You just said something I don't know. I think in the course of the regular season, if you win the national championship, in college basketball, you're right. If you're cutting down nets on that Monday night, it doesn't really matter. I think in the course of the regular season, that's what you're playing for. But the weirdest thing has happened, it also applies to college football, is now, I hope college football doesn't become, you're just playing for the playoff.
Well, that's what the basketball is.
Yep.
I mean, it's nice to claim a Big Ten championship, but then they added, years ago, they added the tournament championship, which took away the Big Ten championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know one person that values the tournament championship more than the regular season championship.
No, I guess if
the conference tournament championship.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess if you're a team that was nowhere near sniffing the Big Ten championship, and all of a sudden you win the tournament championship, and now you got the automatic bid,
which it feels like Iowa might do every third year.
Exactly. But it is what it is. I mean, we all know it's about getting invited to the field of 64 and see what you can do.
Yeah. Well,
and our local teams, Michigan and Michigan State, have a chance to create some noise.
You know what we desperately needed? Is we desperately needed March Madness, the NBA playoffs, or the Stanley Cup playoffs to start Monday. It would have really helped the healing process.
Yeah, think so?
Like, I think what's going on with the Pistons, legitimate. What's going on with the Red Wings? It's encouraging since they made the coaching change. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but it's encouraging, and just making the playoffs would be a wonderful step forward. Both Michigan and Michigan State, you know, I've seen you put in your show sheets that you're not quite flipping the switch to college basketball just yet. But in all those seasons, like, they haven't reached anywhere close to their peak intensity level. And so with the Lions getting bounced early,
it's going to ramp up soon.
It's going to ramp up soon.
And, you know, both, they haven't played each other yet, Michigan and Michigan State. And they'll play, what, two of the last four games of the season they play against each other?
Yeah, it's really weird.
But it feels like it takes a while every year for me to get excited about college basketball.
Yep. But we need it, man. We need it. We needed that next great excitement as soon as we can get it.
This is an odd situation right now.
What is that? Rico switching microphones?
Yeah, I don't understand this. Why?
Why'd you head over there?
I don't know. The chair was here.
There's a chair there.
I don't like those chairs. All right, I'll switch.
No, you're good.
Stay right where you're at. I want you to feel comfortable. This is your show. I'm a guest right
now. He's fine. He's fine. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Yeah?
You guys just getting into college hoops?
No.
I'm not even yet.
I mean, you got a game tonight, Michigan and Purdue. You got a game tomorrow, Michigan State at Rutgers, in spite of Rutgers' struggles. These feel like, you know, it would be big wins for these two teams.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm in the minority. I've been watching this stuff since November, so yeah.
I've been watching it.
Yeah, I've been watching it, but I'm not that into it just yet. You know,
you didn't get into the Illinois MSU game.
That was an entertaining basketball game. It was a really entertaining basketball game.
Yeah, and
but Illinois is spiraling. But anyway, what do you guys got planned coming up next?
I guess we're going to touch upon something to you guys. Can you bring yourself to watch games this Sunday? Can you watch the NFC and AFC championship games, or are you, you know what? I can't.
It's tough. Because
it's hurt. It's painful.
Last year, Lions losing the NFC title game. And I went on with watching the Super Bowl without even giving it a second thought. This year, Lions lost Saturday night. I had those playoff games on Sunday. Mm-hmm. They were just on.
I know. And I think I have a reason why.
Okay. Well, we look forward to that. Anything else?
TJ Lang will be here.
Oh,
so
teach.
We'll do our normal. We got our prop bet casino and all the normal stuff we do on Friday. So,
well, look, everyone have a great weekend.
So here's one for you real quick. Over under amount of points in the Commanders Eagles punts. 4.5 in the Commanders Eagles game.
So given that I don't think five drives are going to end with turnovers, I'm going to go over.
Okay. I would probably take the over as well. The weather situation is there where it's very windy. Supposed to be windy. So that could wreak havoc with the passing games and cause turnovers.
I did 3.5 with the Lions and Commanders, and it was the under.
Yeah.
It was two.
Yeah, the five turnovers. Well, okay, if you want to sit in front of the TV and watch 8 hours of football or 12 hours of football coverage on Sunday, you can. And if you need to negotiate with the misses, well, here's how it can go. as we're getting near the end of the football season and the end of the Gator rant for the season. It's Carson Anderson. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Treat each other with respect.